Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Hebray, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey.
Hi, Lou.
Today we're talking about short-term goal setting.
Yes. I'm really curious to learn whether you're more comfortable doing that than thinking about and setting your long-term goals.
Totally. I'm totally more comfortable with setting short-term goals.
Okay.
I think part of it is that I don't like looking at the future or thinking that far ahead.
My initial thought is I want to hand you a couch and a pack of tissues. Let's talk about this.
I think it helped in the last episode when we talked about the fact that goals aren't set and that you can change them. But I think that part of it is fearing that if you set a goal, that everything's going to go wrong.
So you think in your head, like you're like, when I set the goal, when I speak out loud, yeah, what I want,
yeah,
that you're going to jinx it.
Yes. Yeah. That the universe is going to say, that's what you think now.
Yeah, but that's fine, right?
Yeah. Is it?
Okay, so this is the difference, of course. There's people who think that life is out there to make it harder for you, right? Yeah. And then there's people who assume the universe has your back and wants to support you whichever way it can, because it benefits the world for you to achieve your full potential.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on your previous experience.
Yes, yeah. So I'm of the belief that if what you're asking for is fully aligned with you, then it makes all the sense for it to happen. If it's really in your best interest.
That's quite a strong condition there, that it's got to be in your best interest.
Well, I say for the highest good of all. A lot.
Yeah.
When I say I want this, or I'm working towards this, because I don't really want something for myself if it hurts someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't want to achieve success over the backs of others, for example.
Yeah. You're not a politician.
No. Maybe politicians should be more like this.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's success.
Yeah.
To begin with. So it's also about my definition of success. But it is clear, like, and the thing is, I used to think exactly like that. Like if I'm honest about what I really want, I'm just going to jinx it, because then it's not going to happen. And then I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah. And that's the stage I'm at.
Okay. Yeah. I left that still coughing. I left that stage behind a while ago, but I used to be exactly like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's the problem for me in setting long-term goals. That and the feeling that I'm committing myself to something.
But that's the whole point, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so is it a fear of setting yourself up for failure?
Fear is a strong word, because I can do it, and I did do it without too much of an internal struggle. So a fear is probably a strong word. It's probably more a case of I'm not making use of the process as well as I should if I did fully embrace it. Okay. I'm getting there. I've moved a long way since we've been recording these episodes.
But that's the thing, right? Like, I sometimes feel that, because it is mindset, right? It's all, it's the things we believe in our heads. It's the things we tell ourselves. It's the things others tell us that we sort of like integrate. So it is mindset. And sometimes when I hear people talk about mindset, it kind of sounds as though if we find the switch, right, we can just change our mindset and we're done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish. I actually think it's a long process.
Yeah.
Because first you need to understand like how you were conditioned to think, like in society, by your parents, by your peers. So you need to understand what you're thinking, where it's coming from, whether it's aligned with you, like whether you actually believe all of that. And then you have to start unlearning that while you sort of try to integrate new beliefs or better beliefs and conditions into your life. But the unlearning,
yeah,
like I think it. I can't say that because I'm not ancient, but I'm assuming that my. Sort of the more limiting thoughts that I have and the things that keep getting in my way, I'm assuming they will always be ready to be triggered. Like, yeah. I don't think they'll ever leave the system entirely because there's such a part of me.
Yeah.
But I think it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. Yes, I can see that. I think I'm probably at the stage where I'm just becoming, maybe not just becoming aware of it, but I'm trying to change things for the better. So it's something that I'm working on. But you're right in that, It's hard to see it initially.
Yeah.
It's only through doing a process like this that you can kind of uncover it, because you don't know what you're looking for, do you, until you find it?
Yeah, because all these things, they happen on such an unconscious level.
Mm.
And you're right, like you really have to dig for them. And you have to know how to dig for them. And of course, the funny part is that once you uncovered one and you start unlearning it and like do it better, the next layer shows up.
Yeah.
And then there's like, I'm still like every time I think, oh yeah, okay. So I finally like work through this one. And then this other obstacle shows up and I'm like, oh God, no, here we go again. But I think that's just the process.
Yeah, because even when you think you've fixed it, so you go, all right, okay. So it's how I'm thinking about this. So now I'm going to look at goals and be a bit more positive about them and not feel that I'm sending out a challenge to destroy them. But then you have a bad day and you slip backwards into that way of thinking again.
Well, I think I think as a society, right, we're very used to thinking of our trajectories as linear.
Yes.
But how I was once taught how it actually works, and this is like, do you know the feeling that and I'm 100% sure you do, that you've worked through something, so like, oh, so that's behind me now. And then at some point you feel like you're in the same place.
Yeah.
And you're like, do I have to learn this lesson again?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the idea is that it's not actually a circle, it's a spiral. And the next time you reach that same cycle, you have, okay, depending on whether you've worked, right, in the meantime, on what's ever been bothering you, it may feel like you're going through the exact same thing, but you are now at a different, you have a different perspective on it. Like you've grown.
Yeah. So you might recognize it immediately, whereas before you wouldn't have seen it and that sort of thing.
Yes, and you'll be able to deal with the next layer that's involved in that cycle or in that event. So I'm no longer upset myself when something shows up again, because I understand, okay, so now I am ready for the next layer.
Yeah.
If you have that's when I'm like having a really good day. If I'm not having a good day, I'm like, why am I here again? Like, why is this still bothering me? I completely empathize with that.
It's kind of a hard way to live in some ways. You know, like I think about my dad, and my dad doesn't reflect at all. Doesn't reflect on his behavior or who he is. He's kind of lives quite a simple existence. And there is a bliss in that ignorance.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah. Well,
but you can't, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, can you?
No, and I think that's the thing. And it's, I try to not judge, because everybody is here to do their own thing, right? And everybody is here. So it's so I believe in karma and dharma and all that kind of things, right? Like all those things, like what we're here for is to find out our purpose, and our purpose is always in a way connected to how we can serve to make the world a better place. That's kind of where I'm coming from, like spiritually. So for some people, this is not the life to start that journey.
Yeah.
So whatever they might need to be doing. So let's, for example, so I also believe in reincarnation, for example, right? I believe in past lives. So you can look at your dad and go like, he's not reflective. He's just like, he's living a simple life.
Yeah.
Maybe what he needs to fix this life, maybe he's been really reactive person.
Hmm.
And always trying to fix things to his own detriment.
Yeah.
So maybe he needs to learn that sometimes it's okay to step back.
Yeah.
For example, I have no idea, of course. I don't know your dad.
That describes him quite well.
So we can think like, this is weird. Like, why are some people like on the barricades right now? Why are some people, and some people are not ready to find their purpose. Some people's purpose is linked to our purpose, but in a completely opposite way, because that's their lesson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And maybe my lesson with him is to accept him as he is, which I do try to do.
Yes. I started reading. Remember we did that quote by Marianne Williamson about what we fear most is not our what's the quote, basically that what we fear not is we don't fear in our inadequacy, but we fear our power and how we can shine. So I started going back to the book, and that, like, it's all about like the real thing we're here for is to love each other and ourselves unconditionally. And that's like the only condition in which the world can thrive. And the reason the world is the way it is right now is because we moved away from love to fear.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's like highly spiritual talking. And while I understand it completely as I read it on the page, like stepping away from those teachings and then looking at the world.
Yes.
That's hard work.
Yeah.
But I think it's worthy work, but it's really hard.
And so you asked me about long-term and short-term goal settings, and this is what we uncovered.
Yes, but that's how it goes. I will remind you, you wanted me on the podcast also because I am this very spiritual person.
Yeah, well, I'm not, I'm quite happy with the direction we just went in.
But I do think that's all related, and I think why we are in our own ways, and that it reflects on our writing career, obviously, is also that fear. And I think for me, I think it's really hard sometimes to prioritize the writing, and I'm still doing it every morning, not necessarily in the weekends, only if I can.
That makes me so happy.
Well, and it makes me really happy, but I am realizing that that is also showing unconditional love to myself.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's what I want to do. So it's putting myself forward. It's putting myself first. So I think the act of writing, right, for all of us is, I think other people will tell us often that it's selfish, right? But it's only selfish if it hurts others, right? Yeah. But I think like mothers so often feel selfish for writing, right?
Yeah.
And then I think of Elizabeth Gilbert, and I once, like, she used to have a podcast called Magic Lessons, and there was this woman on it, and she was talking about the fact that even when her kids are in school, she feels guilty for going to her office to write. Yeah. Because shouldn't I be doing some mothery stuff? I'm their mother. Like, and Elizabeth Gilbert is like, yeah, but if you actually write, right, and show them that you take this space for yourself, then you also show them that it's okay if they want to pursue something that's creative, something that is really for themselves. Doesn't necessarily actually have to be creative, but something that is really, that it shows them that they too can prioritize their passion and put boundaries around it.
Yeah, and it's a good example, particularly to girls, that actually life isn't just about motherhood, it's about living.
Yeah, it's still about living your passions and living your, like, your, of course, I believe, like, I've seen people around me and I'm like, you are such a mother. Maybe becoming a mother was exactly your purpose. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Right. That I see it around me and I'm like, you're so fully embracing it. Like, it's really you. And then there are these women who struggle so much because they feel they now what they are is a mother.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, one of the things you are now is a mother, but you're still a painter or a yoga teacher or whatever you are.
Yeah.
Or an economist for all I care, right? You're still, that is still such a part of your core. And you do. And I think that there's a lot of fear around that as well. Is that how other people think you are doing your time?
Yeah.
To get back to writing, it's like, I think it's the setting time apart to do the thing that you love most.
Yeah.
I think that's like this radical act of self-love, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've been feeling much better about myself generally since I started writing in the mornings.
Yeah. What I love is, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again, is the way that you have faced challenges to that and still found your way back to it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the test. That's the test, isn't it?
Yeah. And that actually makes me think of what you said before. Like, if I had that jinxing mindset, right?
Yeah.
I could have gone, oh, I finally have something that works for me. And now, like, these kittens arrive in my life. And that is almost as if saying I am like a victim of these circumstances.
Yeah. And allowing it to destroy everything that you've created.
Yes. But my mindset is much more, if this is the best thing for me and for the highest good of all, if this is the best thing for me, then I will get back to it when I'm ready.
Yeah.
And that means that, because like I said, I used to have that kind of mindset, and I can just see myself finding these kittens, hearing that they actually have nowhere else to go because we were dealing with so much other stuff as a charity.
Yeah.
And usually, like, I that's the funny thing. If you're in that unlearning process, you can see what your mind, the direction your mind could have gone to.
Yeah.
Right. So I could completely see, as I was standing there and I was hearing, we don't know what to do with these kittens. I could see my mind go, so I can either freak out and go like, damn it. Right. Yeah. I finally had a thing. I finally figured it out. Like I'm not worth, like, clearly I'm not worth it. And the whole thing. But now I was like, okay. So it felt so right to say, I'll take them home. So that is me trusting that I could find my way back to it without any effort. And it was so effortlessly.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do think that the way we approach situations like that will also help. If I had gotten angry, I would have been angry with the kittens. I would have been angry with my charity. I would have been angry with the people of Cyprus who keep dumping kittens in spots. They know we are going to find them because they know we feed around there. Yeah. That is not very productive energy anyway. So I did, just because I surrendered to that. I decided to surrender to that. And that made me not feel a victim. Yeah. That made me feel in control, even though I needed to change things immediately.
Yeah.
You
had no sleep and
Oh my God, no. But, and that's the thing, like, if I don't sleep enough, like my creativity is
That's what I mean. It was a real challenge to your creativity in lots of ways.
Yeah, but I think because I had that trust, right? Because it was so nice. Like, I so loved that new schedule that I had. And this is maybe also, if you have something that works, maybe it's like when you're like in a really solid relationship and there's no worry, there's no jealousy, there's no doubt. If you don't see, like, for example, that's what I had with my girlfriend. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
So when we had our first lockdown, and even our last lockdown, I will not go what are we going to do? We're not going to see each other. And how are we going to survive this? No, because I'm like, we're so solid.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. It'll work one way or the other. It'll work. Yeah. And I think that's the same what I had with this. Like, it was so nice and I felt so good about it. There was no struggle anymore. Once I started writing in the morning,
yeah,
I was like, this feels so right. I'll find my way back to it. But once I'm ready.
You know, when you're writing, though, there's an element of that same trust. When, you know, in order to create a story, in order to write a novel, you do have to have trust that the crap that's coming out of you is going to turn into a beautiful piece of work eventually, don't you? Otherwise, I think that's one of the biggest things you learn when you finish a book.
Yeah,
it's one of the things that you can take on to the next book, the belief that you can do it and the trust that you can do it, and it keeps you writing. Whereas if you are always doubting whether you can be a writer, whether you can do it, it just takes such a long time to overcome those fears and to actually sit down and do it.
It kind of reminds me, and I cannot for the life of me now remember who said it, but there is this quote and it says, like, writing is like making your way through the dark. As if you're driving, right? So you only have the headlights of the car. So so the quote ends, but you can make the whole journey that way. Yeah. Just only seeing what is just in front of you. And I think that for me feels very pansy.
Yeah.
Just of plotting. But I think it goes for your whole writing career.
Yeah.
But also for life as a whole. But this is where the trust comes in. Like, you can be afraid of the sort of like the gaping dark unknown in front of you, or you can practice trust that if I just keep focus on the little bit in front of me that I can actually see and have control over, I can, like, I'll trust that I'll stay on the road.
Yeah.
And see any bends when I need to see them, and find any detours when I need to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to go back to the things that we can actually see, short-term goals.
Yeah.
That I would say is the thing. Although even I would say that, as with long-term goals, I don't think it's beneficial to anyone's sanity if we set any goals in stone.
Yeah.
Like, it's let's be real. Life does throw. So when I say that I think the universe wants us to reach our full potential, et cetera, et cetera, there are tests, and life does throw us curveballs. Although I tend to believe that they are for our growth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice we have, like whether we actually see them as an opportunity for growth or whether we just retreat into fear, anger, et cetera, et cetera. Again, easier said than done. And I do that too. Like, I also retreat and become pissed off. And I do that too. And it can take a long while to get back to the moment you decided to go with that fear. I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we started talking about, like, there is this, you don't know where you're going. So it can be hard to commit to things, because like this quote says, and I know I did a beautiful rendition of that. like, you don't know where you're going. So maybe it's safer not to think about it too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what if you have no idea? But I think that's the thing. Nobody has any idea.
Yeah. And that was my starting point.
Yeah. Yeah. So is it easier for you to focus on the short-term goals then?
Yes, it is. So I did revisit my goals.
The long-term ones.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I revisited them and I realized that I was trying to incorporate too much. So the one thing that I've got to do is the writing. That's got to be the key. So it's about the number of books that I actually put out there. And then the rest of it can almost wait.
Yeah, because it makes no sense.
No.
No, like, I think you said you wanted to have 1,000 reviews for one book, but the book still needs to be written.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, and the other thing is, my long-term goals has got to be about the number of books that I'm actually putting out there. And that's got to be my number one focus. When it comes to writing anyway, or career-wise, there are other things that I want in there, you know, things about my health.
Important.
Yeah. And things about, you know, incorporating other aspects into that, you know, like pooches and Lily. And so there are those things as well, which seem even more scary to, you know, say that you want some land in order for your puppies to play in and to take in rescue dogs and that sort of thing. So that's what it came down to. And I realised that I've also got to make steps towards, you know, building the newsletters and what have you. Yeah. But then I realised that I haven't got a website that I like, and there are smaller steps that I do need to take to put in place so that I've got the foundation to be able to build on that. So it was quite a useful exercise revisiting the long-term goals, and it made it easier to do the short-term goals.
Well, I think the clearer your long-term goals are, the easier it is to sort of like deduct those short-term goals from there.
So
for you, like, where's the line between this is a long-term goal and this is a short-term goal?
I suppose anything over a year is a long-term goal for me.
I was just thinking the same thing, because I never asked myself that question. But I was just thinking the same thing. It's like everything that I can do within the next year, that's short term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how important you've made me think. I know my brain keeps going off at a tangent now, because it's thinking about how important trust is on so many levels. My brain keeps going. Yeah, it's really important in the case of even practicing mindfulness. You've got to trust, haven't you, and not be scanning for threats constantly, which is what our brains tend to do.
Yeah. Well, the ego part of the brain, I think, or the lizard part of the brain.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
The base.
Because that is to keep us safe, and it's like I just ordered. So I once I listened to this episode on Brené Brown's podcast, Unlocking Us, and she was talking to two sisters who wrote a book on burnout. And I've always, like, from the moment I listened to it, I wanted to order it, but I'm like, another self-help book, come on. She's like, come on, it has to stop at some point. At some point, this just needs to be part of me and I just need to be fixed, right? great thinking. But one of my clients, actually, one of my blurb writing clients, named that book as comparable to the book that we were writing a blurb on. So she was like, yeah, oh, it's an amazing book. I read it. And so she recommended it too. And I'm like, okay. So now I have like, I've listened to the podcast. That made me want to buy it. And now I have a client who's like, oh, it's the best thing that I've read in a while. So it's on its way to me now. But I think it was there that they said, like, it's kind of like our brains have forgotten that we are now a civilized society. It could be another podcast, because Brené Brown talks about this a lot, so it could be another guest. But on one of the episodes, at least, the discussion was that our brains still think that we are in survival mode.
Yeah.
As we were back in the day when we were actually like, oh, a saber-toothed tiger, we have to run. And of course, we have created the situation. Yes, there are fears out there. And I think our media helps with that we are in this state of fear a lot. But it's not the same, and we can actually relax. And for so many people, it's even hard to relax when they're inside their own home.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the sort of like the instinct, or the lizard brain, or whatever that's called, the ego. It wants to keep us safe, right? And I think that's also why it's hard to get out of your comfort zone and like finish that book. And if you want to traditionally publish, send it to agents, or if you self-publish, put it on Amazon, because what if people hate it? Because your ego just tries to protect you from disappointment and fear and rejection. Because back in the day, now rejection means like social, like being socially ostracized. But back in the day, rejection meant, oh, you have no community now, you will die.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how I got off, on how I got here.
I'll let you. I was saying about the link to trust.
Because there's so much proof around us that we can trust.
Yeah.
And that we're safe. Not all of us, but that we're safe some of the time.
Yeah.
But it's really hard for our brain. Like, our brain is just not catching up for some reason, which I think is fueled by the media and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it's a cycle, isn't it? Because the more afraid you are, the more you're scanning for danger, the more you would buy into the media, the more they respond by producing more scary stories in order to... Yeah, it's like a cycle. Yeah,
it is. And I think the same goes for the perspective. Like, if you're writing... Like, if you surround yourself with other people who don't take it seriously or never actually finish anything, or are just like doing the whole victimized, struggling artist bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's productive either.
Yeah.
So this brings me back to your 1,000 review thing. It's very important, I think, to compare yourself to people who are where you are and who want to be where you want to be, like within the next year or so.
Yeah.
Because you wanted a goal that I don't think Greg Martel has reached yet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So maybe. I mean, I wish it upon you, right? Like, I think you deserve it, but it's not that easy to get there. So maybe getting 1,000 reviews on one book is a nice goal.
Yeah.
Five years after you've published it. So I do think that is, and I think that will help you trust, seeing that other people are who are where you are and who want what you want are doing the same thing and are actually succeeding.
Yeah,
I think that might help with that. So you said it's easier for you to plan like the year.
Yeah.
So how do you break down, because you know just from working through my journal that I'm a sucker for breaking down goals as much as I can.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, so I really break them down. Because if I don't, I will forget steps, or I think something takes less time than it needs.
Yeah.
Like, ever since I started using my Kanban board, I've realized, like, publishing a book, that's like, that sounds like a thing, right? And then I hit publish. But that actually means, so you need a paperback version, you need an ebook version, you need two different covers. You need to make sure that your Amazon categories are correct on all the platforms that you have influence on through Author Central. And it's just, it's you need to have some social media posts. Maybe you want to put it on Kobo and on Smashwords and on whatever you... You need to write a blurb.
And all that, yes. You need to write author notes. You need to,
Yes. So maybe you need an author picture taken. Like, it's really intense. And for me, like, just because I thought I was good at that, but now I have the Kanban board, I'm like, that has made me feel so much more sane.
Yeah.
Because when I forget a step, or when I'm in something and I'm like, oh, I forgot about that, now I have to do it, that often happens at the end of my workday, and I'm already like stretched thin, and I'm like, fuck, okay, whatever. And that's when I get upset with myself.
Yeah.
And then I start sort of like becoming really mean, because if I was better at planning, I would have known that right?
No one's better at planning.
thank you. So for me, the whole breaking it down, so that's like really small goals.
Yes, well, I have done that, and I've tried to incorporate the other aspects of my life in there. So it's no good knowing that, you know, seven and a half hours of my day is taken out by my day job and not recognising it. And thinking that I can achieve all this stuff because I've not taken that into account.
Well, it's great if you're a full-time author, but if you're not.
Yeah, I'm not sure being a full-time author would really make a vast amount of difference to me either.
I think that's for a lot of people. I hear that so often, that people quit their jobs because they earn enough money to go full time, and they realize they write less because now they have this huge amount of time and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I actually know people who've gone back to their jobs.
Yeah.
And then they started writing more. So it feels like such a mind fuck.
I know.
But it's for some people, they need the pressure.
I think for me, it's about the structure, because you've got to fit things in at either side of the day and a bit in the middle. And if you've got that structure, whereas it's like being on holiday. Yes, I can write, and I have written, and I've achieved what I wanted to achieve with my writing. But it's very, maybe I'll do it later. And it's not.
Oh, yeah. Before you know it, the day's over.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas when I'm on a working day, as you say, I've planned out, because your book leads you to do that, what you're going to do in the morning, afternoon and night. And I'm able to plan out that, you know, take Lily for a run, get my steps in.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of writing.
Yeah.
Do some yoga, have breakfast, which is a massive. It's because I get up so early, I can do all that. But I have to be very focused to do all that. And then I start work at 8:30. And then work till 12:30. And then have a break for lunch. And I'm not going to get any writing done in that hour, realistically, because you need to be moving. I need to be moving. I need to be out of the house, not, you know, still in the house writing, because it's a break from work, but it's not a break from the four walls, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a danger, right? I think with COVID.
Yeah.
That I've been struggling with. Like I'm a homebody, so it's very easy for me to be inside my four walls. But even I sometimes have, like, even if I just go walk to the supermarket and back, I just need to get out of this space.
Yes. So that's incorporated in my plan. And then afterwards, well, sometimes we go for a swim now that the weather's gorgeous. So either a walk or a swim, and then fitting tea in and writing in and reading in is just about doable, but no social media.
that's a tricky part. But that's what I try to do, and it doesn't work always, but that's what I try to do. Like I'm slipping there. Like in the mornings, I told myself I just won't turn on my phone. So I've been slipping there a little bit this week, and this morning I was like, no, you go back to it. Don't turn on your phone until you're done writing. But yeah, I try to do too. Like I want to write until 8:00, and then I want to meditate, and I want to write in my gratitude journal, and then I want to have breakfast, and then 9:00 I just want to start the day and just get in the office, basically. Unless I have a cat to rescue, then that's first.
But that structure is key for me. That structure and that habit is just key. So I haven't done any yoga all week, mainly because I hurt my knee, and then it's really hard, isn't it?
Yes.
But I also know that getting back into incorporating that into a routine is going to be quite difficult for me.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Yeah. So it is the routine. And I think, and knowing, like what you said, it's like knowing what you can actually squeeze into the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is about being realistic about what your days look like.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you plan your writing year, as if you are a full-time author, then you are setting yourself up for disappointment because your life is your life.
Yeah.
And whether you have a lily boo or whether you volunteer for cats or whether you have kids or maybe you have a parent who needs looking after or a friend who needs looking after, whatever you do, these are all things to take into account when you do those short-term goals.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what we're going to talk about next week.
Yeah.
Or in 2 weeks. We'll be recording it next week, probably, but...
Although I think you're away next week, aren't you?
So. Oh, that is true. It's my birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday!
Thank you. So maybe this is where we end this episode and we'll talk more about the short-term goals as we discuss how we fit them around our lives.
Yeah. So maybe if people want to think about what's easier for them, long-term or short-term goals.
Yeah, because I'm just curious about that. Like for some people, the long-term goal setting is much easier. And the closer they get to where they are now, it gets a little, that's where the tension shows up. And I'm really curious. I'm really curious to hear what's easier for people out there, like whether it's the short-term goals or the long-term goals. And I would also love to know how people break down their goals because, you know, I'm really zealous in that department.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.